This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. Please go to my website, worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. We have to have another great awakening if we're going to save the Republic. I have with me Eric Hurd, Sons of Issachar, apostolic leader. Eric, welcome back to the program Warning.
Thank you, Dr. Hansen, for having me again.
Well, I'll tell you, we're in a season that the Bible describes, will I find faith, Jesus said, when he returns. We're in this era where I believe is a great deception. And the world seems to be deceived. I've never seen a situation in America quite this way. It's not only divided, totally divided, just right down the middle. You remember in April 2020, the Lord gave me 25 dreams. Civil unrest. Well, we've seen it. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Hamas, a civil war, and an invasion. Well, 10 to 15 million illegal aliens, I would say, is an invasion. An invasion. Not only that, then civil war. And all of my sources says we're right on the brink of a real, real civil war. And they're talking about bullets, that we're on the brink of civil war. Well, I know what the Lord showed me again. Since April 2020, civil unrest, civil war, and an invasion. And we are experiencing as we speak. One reason for it is the great deception. We are in a great deception. Jesus said, will I find faith? I mean, I watched, read statistics on a poll on pastors, and 12% of youth pastors, 12% only, have a biblical world view. 88%, I don't know what they're teaching. Alternate lifestyles from public schools and universities and grade schools. I don't know what they're teaching, Eric, but 12% have a biblical worldview. So, I mean, we know that half of the church is under the Federal Council of Churches, which is a communist covering. These are mainline churches. They belong, again, to the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. These are mainline churches. Now, these deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit, deny, basically, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They deny apostles and prophets. They've made their own unique little Bible, so to speak, and they've cherry-picked, and whatever their denominations don't agree with, they just don't teach. They say it's not for today. But so there you go, the great deception. Well, without the Holy Spirit, the baptism, there's a huge deception. A huge deception. I mean, who is the Holy Spirit? I just spoke in a five-day conference in Bothell, Washington, on who is the Holy Spirit. It was a Holy Ghost conference and notable speakers. I had the privilege of speaking 3 days. But if you deny and reject the Holy Spirit, you're rejecting God himself. You're rejecting the one that brings revelation, illumination, conviction of sin, a guidance, direction, and so many other things. But they flat out reject it. And you know, Eric, Jesus ascended. He said, go tarry. Don't try to represent me until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't even try. Hey, take a break. Go sit somewhere and wait until my power comes upon you. Now, we're supposed to tarry, we're supposed to chase, we're supposed to entreat, we're supposed to go after, we're supposed to covet. But these churches deny it, flat out deny it. Now, the other churches that we all accept, so to speak, similar statement of faith, you know, charismatic, Pentecostal, some evangelical, some Baptist, and, you know, I'll tell you, yet, there are people go to to schools, public schools, universities, elementary schools, where they teach alternate lifestyles. They teach everything that is contrary to the Word of God, especially in universities. They're flat out hostile to absolute authority in the Word of God. And so you know, so many of so-called Christians are influenced by these forces. Consequently, 12% of our youth pastors have a biblical worldview. Eric, comment.
Yes, sir. You're 100% correct in all that you said. The spirit of Antichrist has even creeped throughout the universities, the biblical universities as well. They have targeted the Bible schools. And when you deny the Holy Spirit's role in our lives, he is so important. And they have mocked the Holy Spirit. They've reduced the Holy Spirit just in speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit's job is much more than that. It is to help us. He is to strengthen us. He is to show us things to come. So let me read John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when he, and most Christians, they say it, and I correct them. I said, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He has mind, will, and emotion. Okay? The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So if you reduce the Holy Spirit to just the manifestation of tongues, then people mock what they don't understand. And so everything that we need to know, Jesus has taught. I tell people, Dr. Hansen, if you read just what's in red, you and do it and apply that to your life, Jesus is teaching, you will be a spiritual giant. But again, they have blasphemed and mocked the Holy Spirit, the one who is called to teach us and to show us things to come. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, well, then how can we discern the times?
Well, you're exactly right. In fact, I didn't know if somehow you got a copy of my notes, maybe you watched my messages on YouTube or Rumble or something. But the Holy Spirit is probably the least understood person of the Trinity. And again, you have God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God manifested in three persons. So there's been a lot of misconceptions. Like you said, it's not an it. It's not a force. It's not a ghost. It's not a replacement God. It's not a second-class citizen. I mean, it's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand, and I think it's correct, as you started off, the Holy Spirit is a person. So being a person, the Holy Spirit has feelings. He can become sad or angry, and others can insult him and blaspheme against him. Isaiah 63:10. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Eric?
Yes, and the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, the enemies of God have become very bold today, and they are mocking things they don't understand to their detriment and eternal damnation. When one person speaks against the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that deals with our hearts, deals with our minds, deals with our emotions. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And so we have replaced the Holy Spirit with seducing spirits. And it says 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So the occult is on the rise today. But God still has a remnant of people. He has a remnant, and he doesn't need a whole lot of people. Praise God, thank God. He just needs people to understand the function and unction of the Holy Spirit.
No, that's good. That's good, Eric. Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what God would be saying to these mainline churches, these pastors.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're teaching. I mean, I knew that when I grew up in a Baptist church, I kind of really questioned in my mind, what were they really talking about? They didn't open the scriptures. Everything is right there. Anything that we need to know, Dr. Hansen, concerning the affairs and cares and that pertain to this life and godliness is in the scriptures. But people are not studying the scriptures. They're studying their denomination. They hold their denomination and their doctrines, as Jesus said, higher than the word of God. And this is why we're having the problem. Now, the people are not taught the truth. And I tell people, I used to get persecution of this. I told them, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they used to say, well, you don't have to speak in tongues, and that's not necessary. No, if you look at the scripture, he is vital. Like you said before, Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem, to you be endued with power from on high. You don't have what it takes within yourself to be able to contend with the forces of darkness without the Holy Spirit.
And the Baptist Church, it's not listed as a mainline church. We're talking about Lutherans, Presbyterians. We're talking about Episcopalians, you know, Presbyterians, mainline churches. Now, the Baptist is quite a broad denomination. So you have some that resist it. You have some that are in favor of it, and you walk into some Baptist churches, it depends on the pastor, it always does, but you'd think you're in a Pentecostal church. So, I mean, it just depends what Baptist church you walk into, whether they fight God himself by resisting the Holy Spirit and saying we're filled with devils, or whether they embrace the Holy Spirit. So, but this is the truth. It's always the pastor behind the pulpit. It's the leader. That whether a church is on fire or whether a church is dead. I mean, you get Assembly of God denomination that I grew up in and was ordained with for a long time. And tell you, some are on fire, some are as dead as can be. Eric?
Yes, you can't be able to understand the simple truths without the Holy Spirit, let alone the mysteries of God. And I asked the Holy Spirit, and he's my friend. Jesus said that when he leaves, he will not leave us comfortless. But when he goes, the Father will send another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, that will be with us to eternity. Amen. So I thank God for the voice of the Holy Spirit, the unction, and not only that, Dr. Hansen, the gifts of the Spirit of discernment. As we have so much deception going on today, we have to be able to know, because people are sounding good. They talk good, but you tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So I love it when the Holy Spirit, sometimes I may not know exactly what it says in scriptures verbatim, and the Holy Spirit will still give me a check. It's something that, you know, I can't go forward with this because he's checking me. And then I'll ask him, what is this all about? And I'll begin to do some research on that, and I'll find out. Say for instance, with the COVID-19, when it first came out, people were didn't know what it was, but I had to check in my spirit. I'm not getting this vaccine. If greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, well, then I need to prove this. And if I die, I die. But we talk about the greater one. We talk about that. But we need to understand and be able to apply that knowledge, knowing that if God is in me, who can be against me?
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, you know, before he was promoted into heaven, you know, Acts 20, 25, this is the last time I'll see you, and this will be my final message to you. You're not going to see my face after this. And then he delivers his message to the Ephesians. I've been with you before, and you know what I stand for. I have served you with humility and tears. I've preached you in your church from house to house. I've done it all under great trials and persecution. I have kept nothing back from you. Then with tears, he gave them this sober warning. For 3 years now, I've warned you night and day with tears about what I see coming to the church after I'm gone. Now, I want you to hear this warning one more time, Acts 20:31. So, Paul with tears trying to warn them of the great deception of those that would twist the truth, not speak the truth anymore, deny the need for the Holy Spirit. Paul with tears and groaning was concerned with guarding the sheep from the wolves, and we have the wolves, Eric, in the chicken house.
I don't know how many times, Dr. Hansen, for the last couple of years, I've wept and cried on the atrocities of humanity and this COVID-19 and all these things that they're doing right now, this tyranny, and the people are totally deceived. I like what it says here in Revelations 13 and 14, and he deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. So this spirit of Antichrist is becoming more stronger. And if there is no resistance within you, first of all, it starts with the written word of God, the mind of God, and the Holy Spirit showing us and teaching us and bringing back to our remembrance what Jesus has said. So men are they're up against something they don't really understand, the end time game here. And as you look at the virtual reality, sometimes I look at that phenomenon now that people are wearing these goggles, that the mind can be so deceived. They put on these goggles, Dr. Hansen, they think actually they are in that situation. And so I put on some goggles before my one of my foster boys had one, and I wanted to check it out. And so I put on the program, a roller coaster. And as I began to go down that roller coaster in the goggles, I began to feel that in my body. I took it off immediately. I said, this is amazing. I'm not on a roller coaster, but in my mind, that's how easy the mind can be deceived. And the enemy has, he's going to come with lying signs and wonders, Dr. Hansen, in the last days. And if people are not grounded and rooted in God, deception will be their lot.
You know, we could talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit has intentions. It shows willfulness and discretion, loves, communicates, testifies, teaches, and prays. We could go further. The Holy Spirit was present during Jesus' life. We could go further. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning, lives in the believer. The Holy Spirit with world evangelism. Without the Holy Spirit, we aren't concerned about witnessing to the lost. You got the power of the Holy Spirit, how it changes lives. I was talking to a person in prison and how in prison he found God. He found the Holy Spirit and his entire life was changed. Now, this was just yesterday I was talking to him. But I'll tell you what, he has intentions. He gives instructions. Nehemiah 9:20, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for thirst. John 15:26, when the advocate comes, who I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth goes out from the Father. He will testify about me, the Spirit of truth. These mainline churches, they don't have the Spirit of truth. They nullified sin. They ordain homosexuals. They have drag queens in the churches. They don't care about, again, the Holy Spirit. Apostles, prophets, they deny it all. They deny sin. Well, he instructs you about sin, and he convicts you about sin.
Glory.
You get into, again, Acts 13:2. When they are worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I call them to do. The Holy Spirit can tell us who belongs on a mission trip and who doesn't. He can say, Eric Hurd, you belong with Dr. Hansen on the next mission trip. Get off from thy chair and walk and fly. You know, the Holy Spirit can do that. Amen, Eric?
Amen. I hear the Holy Spirit. I hear you as well.
All right. I'm waiting for obedience. I'm waiting.
Praise God.
But Romans 8, 26 and 27. Let's look at that. It says, again, that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us through groanings. He searches the heart and minds. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I mean, need the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We need him so greatly. And he teaches us. I like this, the part where you said that we don't know how to pray sometimes because we're not all knowledgeable. We don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. So therefore, when you don't have the piece of the puzzle, God has given us a helper. And he actually prays through us the perfect will of God. Amen. So we're don't have the words to say sometimes. We just need to begin to speak in the unknown tongue, which is our heavenly language, and communicate directly with God and not let the mind interfere with that. And Jude 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you and I pray in the Holy Ghost every day. Amen. When I think about things that need to be taken care of, things that I don't understand, we can sing in the Spirit. We can pray in the Spirit. But we need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost daily. If you need edification, you need to be built up, especially now. We need to be fortified as never before. And this is done through the person of the Holy Spirit who will never deceive us.
You know, the Holy Spirit was here in the beginning. You know, the Holy Spirit is such an important, if you want to say, figure, person of the Godhead throughout the Bible. You know, in Genesis 1-2, we find him moving about the surface of the waters. Revelation 22:17, he and the bride cry with one voice. From beginning to end, the Holy Spirit has always been active in the beginning, creating, at the end of the story, tending to us. He comforts us, helps us, guides us, reminds us, teaches us, comes alongside of us, counsels us, intercedes, and he's an advocate for us. There is no area in life in which the believer does not need the Holy Spirit.
I get excited when we talk about the Holy Spirit because he is the advocate. And you know that when you're in trouble, you need someone that's going to stand with you. You need someone who's going to understand you on a deeper level. Men may not understand you. Men may perceive you incorrectly. But when we go before the Father, the Holy Spirit, he talks to us. He speaks to us. He helps us. And I like also, he convicts us of sin.
Amen.
And, you know, the other day I was at the gas station getting some things out of the store. And so not always I stop, but I do stop quite frequently and talk to people if I have the opportunity and the time to do so. So I just heard the unction of the Holy Spirit as I'm going back to my car. And he says, go speak to that person. So I kept a couple more steps back to my car. And I said, well, let me go obey the Holy Spirit. And it was a wonderful encounter we had because God knows the timing. He knows I had to be at the store to meet this person. And so we cannot ignore the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have been satisfied throughout the day if I had not obeyed the Holy Spirit. It was a wonderful encounter, Dr. Hansen.
Wonderful. You know, life without being full of the Holy Spirit, I believe it's flat impossible to build the body of Christ. I believe it's impossible to please God. I wouldn't have a ministry if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit.
But the Holy Spirit, like I said, he shows us not things to come in your own personal life. That's what I love about him. You know, things that I miss, things that I overlook. He reminds me, go get that, or go over here, or go over there. I mean, he's so involved in our daily lives. And that's what I love about it. It's not just, again, God's will and God's mission is important too, but he's concerned about our everyday life. Jesus said, every hair on our head is numbered. So he's so intricately involved with our day-to-day lives. It's so beautiful to have fellowship with him.
Well, I know in Kenya, when I get off the plane sometimes, God just speaks to me right on the moment. And Mike didn't have this lined up. I got off the plane. I looked at Mike. I said, I want to be with the ambassador from Israel to Kenya. Well, you can't, you know, it's impossible. I said, give him a call. Just give him a call. Boom, I was in the next day, an hour and a half. God opened the way. He heard I was from the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus. God opened the way. Same with the American ambassador to Kenya. Boom, I was with him. The former vice president, boom, I was with him. These weren't appointments already made. I got off the plane and boom, God showed me. I mentioned it. It happened.
Praise God.
Without the Holy Spirit, Eric, I don't have a ministry. You know my ministry. And God shows me something. I send it. It comes to pass. I'm in the government. But without the Holy Spirit, I have nothing. I don't have a ministry.
Well, we speak with boldness. He gives us also boldness to be able to speak and prophesy as well. You know, as a young man, and God often has had me go after the one. You know, the 99 is out, you know, with the in the sheepfold. But God has me go after the one. So anyway, I was just sitting in my car a few months ago, and the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit to give this person a call. I know he had a strong call in his life, but he was going through some things. So at that moment, I just called him up. And Dr. Hansen, what he said was, he just pulled on the side of the road, and he says, God, you got to speak to me. If you don't speak to me today, then I'm just going to go back to drugs or whatever. And I called him. He just began to shout. You know, I just called him out of the blue. And I know it was God. And so these occurrences are so wonderful. They happen so frequently when we obey the Holy Spirit and listen to him, we can be a blessing in the lives of people.
Luke 1:35 talks about, again, the Holy Spirit present during Jesus' life on earth. It says, when the angel appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus, he declared, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I mean, Jesus the Holy Spirit, God the Father, they were there from the beginning. They were there in the middle. They were there in the end. I mean, it's all there. What's going to happen in the end? It's all God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How can you leave the person of the Holy Spirit out and expect to do the will of God? How can you do it?
You can't. It's impossible. You know, one thing you said, he's there from the beginning. Being that the Holy Spirit lives in our tabernacle, he dwells among us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will dwell among us. Then when I read the Bible stories, Dr. Hansen, it becomes real to me. It becomes alive, like a 3D theater. I begin to, like, I'm sitting down with the disciples. It's just amazing. He takes me there because he gives me, not only that, he can take me there in my imagination. Then I can feel the feelings. I can feel the conversation. It's just amazing. And then I pray every day, Lord, show me great and mighty things that I don't understand, that I don't know. And so now through the Holy Spirit, who knows all things, he was there in the beginning. He can begin to give me understanding. I can take complex issues and break them down to a layman's term through the power of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you how to understand the things even that's going on in the world today.
Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. So we see during his ministry, Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. He had a relationship with him, and further, he urged his disciples to receive him in their lives. Before Jesus started doing miracles, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he was tempted in the wilderness, and he came out because of the power of the Holy Spirit, defeated every temptation Satan could have given him, and he had a powerful life of miracles right up to the cross where miracles happened, and he rose from the dead. Eric?
Amen. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon men and women. In the New Testament, because of Christ, now he dwells within us. What a great privilege we have to house the great Spirit of God.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've had Apostle Eric Hurd. We've talked about, again, the great deception, who is the Holy Spirit. My phone number, 360-629-5248, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. Give me your best offering so we can reach the world for Jesus. God bless you.